We thank you so much for your word. We thank you that the Spirit of God is alive in this place, Father. We thank you and we're trusting that the Holy Spirit, the teacher, the revelator to the church, that he'll be present to reveal the word to us. Father, we're asking that you'll help me minister the word, that I'll speak as an oracle of God. I thank you, Lord, that you'll think through my mind, you'll speak through my lips. I pray that you anoint the ears of all those to hear the word of God. Father, speak to us and teach us by the Holy Spirit today. All in agreement with this prayer, say, amen. Well, we're going to talk about how to fellowship with or how to know God. How to fellowship with or and how to know God. How to fellowship with God. How to know God. It's the same thing. How to fellowship with God or how to know God. Now, if it goes all the way back to the beginning and the book of Genesis, it says that God created his man to fellowship with him. When God created Adam and Eve in the garden and so forth, and Adam and his man would be down there on the earth, and God would come down in the cool of the evening to what? To fellowship with him. Yeah, other than that, God was going on running the universe and Adam was going on running the earth, but God would come to fellowship with him because God needs his man's fellowship, and he promises tremendous blessing for those that would fellowship with him, those that would take the time to get to know him. You know, let's say, for example, if you got this super, super rich person that just has everything, healing, salvation, prosperity, and just everything. Wouldn't it pay you to get to know that person? You know, and a lot of people don't realize, we realize and acknowledge God to be El Shaddai, the God that supplies all our needs. But yet we don't treat him the way we would treat Michael Jordan if he walked into church tonight. You know, if somebody said Michael Jordan was down at the Winn-Dixie, folks would fly out of here to get to Winn-Dixie. Some would leave early just to get a glimpse of Michael Jordan, maybe to get an autograph, maybe to talk to him. You guys laughing, but you know it's true. The same thing when your favorite singing star come to town and you spend $30 a ticket to go see him. What's the difference? You pay to go see him because that's what you want to do. There's something about that person you consider valuable. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with it, but I'm saying we should at least esteem the creator of all the universe at least the same way. The one who really can supply every need. Because no matter if you're sick, you can go see anybody else and they're not going to be able to get you well. Doctors can treat symptoms, but there's certain things they'll tell you, we've done all we can do. Medical science can't help you. God will never tell you that. He says, whatever it is, I'm able. But he's seeking and providing that for people who seek him enough to fellowship with him. So it's important. We need to know how to fellowship. Nothing uncomplicated. I probably won't tell you anything you don't know, but I want you to be reminded of it because it's important that you do these things because God is still in heaven saying, I want Joy of Faith Christian Center members. I want all the church or body of Christ at large, all over the world. I still created my man to fellowship with me, and I still have blessings in store if they'll take the time to do it. Let's turn to John 17:3. John 17:3. How to fellowship with God. John 17:3. The Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 17:3. Oh, if we just fellowship with God more, you'd be surprised at how little needed to be for all kinds of things. For things as financial needs, from counseling needs, from prayer needs to prayer requests. People making prayer requests to people more than making prayer requests to God. You know, brother, I need you to pray with me. Well, what's wrong? What do I have that God doesn't have? There's nothing wrong with having somebody hook up with you in prayer. Don't get me wrong. But people not even going to God, they're going to somebody else to pray. I said, you need to go to the Father. If you lack anything, ask the Father in the name of Jesus. He'll give it to you. Now, if you need somebody to agree with you in prayer and to help your faith, there's nothing wrong with that. But most people don't know nothing about that. They just go around asking other people. Fellowship with God, and you'll learn that there's a friend there who wants your need met better than any earthly friend you have. Better than any earthly friend. Because you know, sometimes folks come back to you praying, and you're like, yeah, okay. But you don't really take it really to heart. I mean, I do it because it's my job and because I want to do it and it's part of my ministry. But the average person, when I wasn't in the ministry, sometimes folks would come, I'd care, sometimes I didn't care. Just tell you the way it was. You can pretend like you cared all the time. Yeah, I'm going to pray about that. 6 weeks later, they say, oh, I received it. Thanks for praying. You're like, I ain't never pray. I forgot all about it. Don't even. See, now you know. Now you know what I'm talking about. Don't pretend like you pray. So everybody come to you, you just get fervent in prayer and just take it to the Father. And yeah, right. John 17:3. Y'all made me lose my place. I had my place here. John 17:3. Let's take fellowship. God wants us to fellowship with him. Now, let's take a look at this here. John 17:3. If you're not there yet, you might as well forget about it. You're not going to find it. John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou sent. Now, this is life eternal. This is Jesus speaking. This is life eternal, that they, speaking of the people at that time, he's talking to the apostles. This is life eternal, that the people of the earth might know God the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. That's life eternal. That's the abundant type of life, is that you will know him. And the way to get to know someone is to fellowship with them. So if you fellowship with them, you will get to know them. If you don't ever hang out with somebody, like if you don't come to this church and you don't know who I am or anything else, you don't know me. I'm not saying we got to hang out all together. You come out every week and you come in Sunday and I'm sharing the word of God and sharing my heart. You'll get to know me and you'll get to know some things about me. Just like if I see you and I talk to you, I'll get to know some things. What did we do? We fellowship. You think of fellowship as fellows in the same ship. At the same time, we were in the same place and we got familiar with one another. We saw one another. We chit chat with one another. We share our lives with one another. We get to know each other. That's what prayer is. Fellowshipping with God, telling God what's going on, waiting for him to tell you what's going on. Fellowshipping with the Father. This is life eternal, that they, this is God talking, actually Jesus talking to his Father, that they might know thee, Father. Father God, that they just know you. Oh, that's life eternal for them. If they know you and they know me too, the one you sent, oh, they'd have life eternal. Now, what you want to notice here, again, as long as you're over there, is John 4:24. John 4:24. Talking about fellowshipping with the Father. John 4:24. Now, you have to realize that God is not a natural being. You can't walk down the street and go over God's house. You can't say, oh, yeah, I saw God down at the supermarket buying groceries. You know, I work with God. Well, it's not that kind of relationship because he's not a natural being. It tells us right here that God is a spirit. And they that would worship, and that includes fellowship or get to know, they that would worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, because God is a spirit, you can't contact him in the natural. So therefore, if you can't contact him in the natural, you can't fellowship with him in the natural. So that scripture can be expanded to say, for God is a spirit, and they that will fellowship with him must fellowship with him in the spirit. It's a spiritual realm. Prayer is a spiritual thing. I can talk to Joanne and it's natural, but I'm talking to somebody who I don't see, somebody I may have never touched, may have never sensed with my five senses, but still I have to go to a spiritual realm of faith to believe that person exists and exercise faith in prayer and other things to contact or to spend time with that person, because we fellowship with God in the spirit. Now, I want you to remember that you fellowship with God in the spirit. Now, let's look here a little further. Point number one. Well, before I say point number one, let me explain this to you. The devil is always seeking to cut into your time so that you don't have time to fellowship. He will give you 101 reasons to why you shouldn't come to church. 101 reasons why you shouldn't come to Wednesday service. 101. I'm talking about folks who can come, not folks who can't come. And none of those excuses hold any water. It comes down to a point of, where's your commitment? What are you committed to do? Are you committed to fellowship with God? Because I guarantee you, very few people will say, I'm not coming to church today to spend time with God because I'm going to stay home and spend time with God. No, they're giving up fellowship with God. Totally. I ain't going to fellowship with God during that time. They just gave that up. I'm going to go do something else. You see what I'm saying? So literally what you've done is you've given up time in which you could spend developing your relationship with God for something else you consider more important. Now, things come up. Don't get me wrong. But I'm talking about when we could have planned or scheduled things differently, that we could have shown a commitment to God. There's something that's important about putting first things first. God talks about the first fruit. He wants the first of everything, the first of your time, the first fruit. And so often we put God on the second or the third tier. And if this comes up, we put that over it. And then it questions, where is your commitment? If I have a friend, let's say I have a tremendous need. I have some friends I could call that no matter what they're doing, it's got to be life or death crisis in their life, that they wouldn't stop doing. But even if they're mad about it, because of their commitment to our friendship, they're available to me. They may not prefer to talk to me, just like people call me. I've had one guy, he was having problems. He called me late, I don't know, 1 o'clock, 11:30 or something. I'm about to get into bed. And he's calling me. And, you know, of course, I didn't want to talk to nobody that late at night. But we're friends. We go way back. Been knowing each other for 33 years. So I was there for him. I didn't worry about it. Once I got over the fact of what time it was, I went on and ministered to him. I think he stayed up half the night sharing the word and speaking into his life. That's committed to the friendship. Time to fellowship with God and anything can come up. It's raining. I ain't going. Well, it looks kind of slick out today. No commitment. It's too sunny. It's too cloudy. You know, I got this to do. I got that to do. When if we really are honest with ourselves and we realize we're breaking an opportunity to fellowship with God, to spend time in his word and get to know him, we'll realize that I could have scheduled my schedule better. But I didn't consider that fellowship with God that important. So I did everything else I was going to do, but I just covered up the fellowship with God time on Sunday morning, on Wednesday night. That's what I covered up because why? It wasn't that important to you. I tell you, because God didn't pay up every Friday, doesn't mean payday isn't coming. And that can be in good or in bad, because a lot of the problems we have now, I have people come to church and after they've come here for a while, they'll say something like, man, I tell you, I should have come. I wish I'd have been here 3, 4, 5 years ago. We started in 93. Some people say, I wish I'd have been here in 93. How much further I would have been in God now? Well, you may not have known about it then, but perhaps if you were praying, I know God sent me here for people. And those years that we went pretty much preaching to chairs, somebody was supposed to be there, but somebody wasn't hearing from God because they weren't spending time in fellowship with God. And the thing is we can't do anything about that. But what about where God wants me to be 2 years from now? If I'm skipping and hitting and missing church, I'm missing my time to fellowship with the Father because it's not that important. See, because how you sow, you'll reap. If you reap sparingly, you will sow sparingly. If you put forth little effort into growing and developing and hearing the things of God, you're going to get little result from the things of God. But if you want great results, you have to put in great effort. You have to go the extra mile if you want a great result. Because God says, blessed are they. And it goes on. You remember the scriptures. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands where sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful. But the blessed man, the man who chooses of his own volition to be blessed, his love shall be in the law of the Lord. And in that law, he'll meditate day and night to do according to all within it. Then in due season, he shall bring forth fruit and his leaf shall not wither away. Won't be any dry spells anymore. The person who meditates the word of God and stays in it and seeks it first place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all those other things be added. The man or woman who stays committed to God with a consistent, continual commitment will get consistent, continual results. A person who is a fair weather Christian, if the weather's good, they're there. And if it's bad, they're not. Then they're going to get those kind of results. Sometimes you're going to get good results. Sometimes you're going to get bad results. God is not to be made a fool of. That's what mocked means. For the God is not mocked. No matter what you think is going on or what you think happened, God is not mocked. So as a person sows, so also shall they reap. And God will see to that. And that's not punishment or anything. He's just saying you get in what you put out. If you don't put anything in, you don't get anything out. Vice versa. If you don't put anything in, you don't get anything out. You put in half effort, you get half out. And some people, I remember going through a rocky road part in my Christian life where my fellowship was up and down, on and off, hit and miss. And if I look back, those kind of results I had. Sometimes you have something great happen. Woo, you go 9 months for something else great happen. But it was inconsistent commitment. So I couldn't get consistent results with inconsistent commitment. And we're talking about what you can do, not what you can't do. We're not talking about what folks can't do, what folks don't have time to do. We're talking about what folks could have time to do. Because I know some excuses I'd use, because when I got a hold of the word, I just was hooked. I said, I didn't miss church for about 3 years, Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday. I could go. I made sure I made my school schedule so I could go. I did everything so I could go because that was important to me. That was valuable to me. I don't think I'll be where I'm at now yet if I hadn't made that kind of commitment. I'd probably still be getting ready to go to Bible school, just getting to the point to hear God to go to Bible school. Or something like that. Because what you put in, you're getting out. Your fellowship or your level or degree of fellowship with God is affecting your spirituality, your spiritual growth, and your ability to get the devil off your back, out of your finances, out of your marriage, and out of your relationships. It's directly proportional. What you put in is what you get out. If you don't like what you're getting out, you've got to put more into it. You've got to have a greater commitment towards God. You might need such a commitment that you leave here and go home and study the word. Which would be a good thing sometime during the week. Because some of us don't have that commitment. We're not going to actually raise your hand. You know who you are. We don't have that kind of commitment. We just kind of like, I mean, if folks not committed to church, I know they ain't doing daily Bible study. You daily means every day. I know they're not doing that if they ain't even committed to going to church. And church isn't every day. I mean, just do something. Don't let the devil tell you 5 minutes ain't worth it. I'm going to do a half hour. Oh, see, I got busy. I can't get a half hour. Well, get 5 minutes in. Do just tell the devil I'm doing something every day. If I sow a minute every day, I'm putting something in every day. Because as you get in the habit of being consistent with God, you would develop a thirst for more, and you'll protect that half hour or whatever you decide to put in. You'll say, I need this. I want this. I look forward to this. And then you begin to give God first place, and he'll begin to give you first fruits results, as opposed to giving him the leftover and sometimes giving him nothing because ain't nothing left over. I'm tired. I'm going to bed. I'll do double tomorrow. Yeah, right. When you going to catch up from last week? Just letting the fellowship with God go by the wayside. The devil seeks to cut into your time. I think this message is for tonight. The devil seeks to cut into your time so that you won't fellowship with God. Your time is the most valuable commodity that you possess. Everybody wants your time. Everybody. Your kids want your time. Your wife wants your time. Your husband wants your time. Your boss wants your time. Your job wants your time. Everybody wants your time, but you've got to manage your time as frugally as you manage your, that may be the problem, as you manage your money. That might be the problem. You got to manage your time better than you manage your money. I better say that. You better manage your time better than you manage your money, because time too is spent. Time also is spent. And when you spend it, I used to always tell folks, I said, look, you can only spend the same money one time. So you better watch where you spend it and spend it where you're going to get the greatest result. Because you can only spend that dollar one time. Once you spent it, it's gone. When you spend that hour, it's gone. You won't see that hour again in your life. It's spent. There's a phrase I read the other day that says, if you waste time, then time will bury you. And I looked at it. I was like, let me think about this. If you waste time, time will bury you. And I think what they're trying to say is that if you're a person who's in the habit of wasting time, you will run out of time to do whatever it is you think you're trying to do. Well, I want to be financially blessed. But then you just keep putting it off on when you're going to get out of debt so you can get from negative to start going forward. Now, you can be going forward even when you're negative. So I remember when I first started getting out of debt and I'm negative this many thousands, then I'm $1 less than that next month. So therefore, I'm still negative, but I'm less negative than I was. And I had to work my way back to zero before I could go forward. Had to get back to an equal balance to get out of negative. But I was making progress from the time I quit going deeper down. Making progress from that time on. But you've got to be committed to it. Time will bury you because you will run out of time to do the things you want to do. That's why it's important not to waste time. It's a valuable commodity. The devil will try to waste your time. You're trying to grow up in God and develop, and the devil will tell you you got to go do something else that's really essentially a waste of time. Or it's something you should have done before. It may be important right now. And in your mind, it may be more important than going to church because the results are more immediate. But the question is should you have done that sooner so that you could still go to church? That's the question. Could you have done that any sooner? Well, yeah, you could have. But you played. Somewhere you were playing. You were wasting time. And now your report's due tomorrow morning on Thursday morning, and you can't go to church Wednesday night because you got a report due. Or your boss says this proposal's due, and he told you that proposal was due 3 weeks ago. He told you when it was due, but you waited till last minute. I used to do that kind of stuff. I'm talking from experience. And I just had to catch myself. I said, this isn't right. Because I couldn't even half concentrate on what I was trying to do because I know I was wrong. And then, yes, I do have to do this right now because this person tomorrow morning is going to get on my case more than God's going to get on my case. So right now I'm making a wise decision. I'm doing first things first. Yeah, but I should have done that before. And what I've done is I just kicked God to the curb. I kicked my fellowship time to the curb. How to fellowship with God? I kicked him to the curb. That's not how to fellowship with him. That's just like a bad friend. Having a bad friend that doesn't care. You in real need. And they just say, look, girl, I'm tired. I know folks like that. Somebody asked me, talk about, how come you have so many friends? I said, because I know how to be a friend. He who would have friends must first show himself friendly. You remember that in the Bible? He who have friends must first show himself friendly. And that's you have to make a commitment to the friendship. And you have to be willing to be inconvenienced for the benefit of the other person. And this person I'm talking about, they'd cut you off. You know, if you called them and they wasn't ready to talk to you, they'd let you know under no uncertain terms, I'm busy, got somewhere to go. And they felt like they were putting you off. And they wonder why they don't have no friends. You're not friendly. You know? Folks wondering why they're not like Abraham and Moses, where God said, these are my friends. Because these people make space for me. They make time for me. They fellowship with me. These are my friends. Abraham was called a friend to God. And look at how many, God, it's a good thing to be God's friend. Blessings just get poured out on you when you're God's friend. But some people don't want to be his friend. They'd rather be his enemy. Or they'd rather be sometime a friend and sometime enemy. We're talking about the intents of the heart and the things and the decisions we make. What is our heart leading us to? We need to fellowship with God. Now let's get to point number one. How to fellowship with God. This is nothing new, but this is deep. Read the Bible. Woo-wee. I didn't know that. Point number one, now how to fellowship with God is to read and study your Bible. That's where that daily comes in again. You ever have a real good friend? You remember when you were in high school, when your life wasn't so busy? And you had time for friendship and time for friends. You go see your girlfriend or your boyfriend. I'm not talking about necessarily the one you date. You could be a girl going to see your girlfriend. Or you can be a boy going to hang out with the fellas. You went with your friend. Or if she was your girlfriend, you made sure you saw her. I think I saw Helen after we started dating. I think I saw her every day for about 2 years. It was 2 or 3 years before I missed a day seeing her. I'd go over her house or she'd come over my house or we were going somewhere because we were fellowshipping. I wanted to go see my friend. I knew how to be a good friend. I was fellowshipping with my friend. And before that, my friend Gerard. I was always my friend Gerard, who was a guy. And even then, sometimes all of us would get together and we'd be friends together. We called it a circle of friends. It was a good group of us, a bunch of us. We were all saved. Some of us went to church. Some of us went to different churches, but we were all friends. And we ain't need no worldly friends, didn't need none, because everybody with us, nobody was supposed to be sleeping with nobody. Now, you had a few that, you know, snuck around and got caught. It was still not socially acceptable in our circle of friends. So it wasn't nobody pressuring you to sleep with nobody, because it was more of us than it was them when they came into that circle. Saying, what's wrong with you? Got to get yourself saved. Let me talk to you about Jesus. We straightened them out, and they felt like the oddball and stuff. Instead of you running with all your unsaved friends, not going to church friends, who ain't going to say nothing to you about not going. Because you don't call the Christian folks, say, guess what? I ain't going to church tonight. What was it about? You ain't go. It was good. You missed it. How come you ain't come? I don't know. You just kind of let it go by. Just let it blow. But see, God knows. I don't care what nobody else thinks, but you better watch what God's thinking. And the thing is, you can't hide nothing from him. He knows your heart, and he knows whether you had the time or not to make fellowship with him important. And I'm not saying the only place to fellowship with him is at church. I'm not painting it out like church is the only time you fellowship with God. But church is a designated time to fellowship and learn of and be with God. And the Bible says forsake not the assembling of the saints. I don't see the exception. Just says forsake not. Don't miss it. Don't forsake it. Be with the saints. If you're going to fellowship at home, well, I'm not going to church tonight. I'm going to stay at home and fellowship with the Lord. That's fine. But I don't think that's what folks are doing. When people get away from regular church attendance, they get away from God. That's what tends to happen, because they tend not to have the discipline to do it themselves. Let's go on. Read your Bibles. Look at Joshua 8:35. Joshua 8:35. Joshua 8:35. You might as well say amen or oh me. Joshua 8:35. The Lord would have left me alone, not let me preach this if somebody didn't need to hear it. And it's funny, some of the people need to hear it who are here. Because he knew who wasn't going to be here. He's talking to some of those that are here who need to hear it. That's amazing. Joshua, what did I say? Joshua 8:35? Joshua 8:35. Joshua 8:35. Let's take a look here. Are you there? Okay, Joshua 8:35 reads as follows. One more page, I'm sorry. Let's take a look here. Joshua 8:35. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not, or did not read, before all the congregation of Israel,
Now, notice this. They're saying about the Word of God, which the only Word of God they had then was the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, Moses, the book of the law, the books of Moses they call. But Joshua, to all the people of Israel, did not fail to read one word. He read it all. And some folks have pretty much stopped doing Bible study and they hadn't even read it all yet. And they pretty much hit and miss and skip around. If I ain't at least read it all yet, I need to keep going. And if you read it all, you get enough to see you need to read it again. You have enough sense to read again because you're constantly reading it. It's like Fred Price says, the Word of God is pregnant. It's constantly giving birth to new facets of revelation. Every time you read it, there's something new if you're reading it from a right heart. Because you have to develop to a certain level in God to get certain things from the Word. And you cannot get that at this level, but you can get this. And God will give you that. But once you're faithful to do that, you'll read it and you'll see something. Somebody must have wrote in my Bible because that wasn't there last time I read that. I never saw that before in my life. I had it happen all the time. I'll be reading. I'd say, I must have read that a million times. And I never saw that before in my life. I wasn't yet able. The Word of God, God reveals it to you at the level you're at. So a lot of times when you read and you're struggling, I ain't getting nothing. We know where you are. And that's no insult. That's just saying you just getting started. But you stay with it and you begin to get revelation. And revelation will come. Because some, well, I don't know how they read and they get so much. Because they read it a lot more than you have. They fellowship a lot more with you because reading the Word of God is fellowshipping with God. It's getting to know Him. Because His Word speaks of Him. Jesus said that they'll know us. How were they going to know Him? He was leaving. They were going to know Him through preaching and know Him through the Word. The Word being preached. And the Word, you know, the spoken Word, the Rhema, the spoken Word, and also the Logos, the written Word. The spoken Word and the written Word was one way how people would get to know God, how people would fellowship with God is to spend time in His Word. Because I got to know God more through His Word than I have through prayer. Because I've gotten more about Him in His Word, just reading it and studying it and meditating it, than I did actually talking to Him. That's a way to get to know Him through His Word. Joshua said it was so important that he did not fail to read one word to the whole congregation of the nation of Israel. He read it all. Part of the Jewish law was you had to know it before you could have your bar mitzvah or whichever one it is for a boy. I forget bar mitzvah. What is it? Bar mitzvah for the boys. Before you could have a bar mitzvah, part of the ceremony was you had to verbatim, no cliff notes. No Bible next to it, not read, but you had to quote the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. That means you had to know the law of Moses before you could even become a man. For you, that was part of being a man. And you wonder why the Jewish people are so blessed. If you know that much of the Word, you're going to get the blessing of God. It's going to come upon you because His law will be hidden in your heart because you've had to memorize it in your head and just to meditate it over and over to memory. You know how to memorize a poem. You got to say it over and over. You had to meditate it to where you could get up and quote the first five books of the Bible. The whole law of Moses. That's why when those guys would talk about something, they knew when they were breaking the law, people acted different in the nation. That'd be like if they made everybody know the Constitution or you couldn't get a driver's license. Everybody would know the Constitution. I guarantee that. Or it'd be a whole lot of jokers not driving. Whole lot of folks footing it. I don't think so. I think the way men like their cars and like to drive and folks like to drive, and that's a status of maturity, getting to know that would be a status of maturity. And people would get to know it. And they would benefit from what they know. Because you can always benefit from what you know. Because knowledge brings wisdom. The opportunity to be wise is predicated upon obtaining and using knowledge. That's how it comes. The Word of God. You get to know of God by reading the Bible. Let's go on. Point number two. How to fellowship with God. Pray. Pray in the spirit and with the understanding. Pray. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:15. Are you still with me? Now, this doesn't hurt that bad, does it? Just a little light reminder. How to fellowship with God. Now, if your goal is to fellowship with God, you ought to be able to remember these 1, 2, 3 points. For the rest of your life, you ought to be able to remember these 3 points. Sometimes you just go on somewhere and you just say, I just want to go be with the Father. Well, grab either 3 of these and go do it. I grab all three of them, and they all fellowshipping with God. Are you there? Where you at? 1 Corinthians? Okay, 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is it then? I will pray, Paul said, with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. Now, when he's saying sing with the Spirit, he's talking about in tongues, as it were, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And notice he said, pray with the understanding. Some people, if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit or with the evidence of speaking in tongues yet, you can still pray with the understanding. And if you have received it, you can also pray with tongues. Now, you should never replace one for the other. You shouldn't pray always in English if you know tongues, how to speak in tongues. You've been filled with the baptism, you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But yet, on the other hand, you should not always pray in tongues and become lazy. My motto is you pray up to the limit of your knowledge in the understanding. And then, if you have received that gift, then you can go beyond there and you can pray with the Spirit. Because then you can pray out mysteries and things that aren't known. But the key here is the prayer. The English or the tongues will both be fellowshipping with God, because when you speak to him, he'll speak back. I talk about so often people pray and it's always one way. Most denominations definition of prayer is begging. You know, they say pray. Yeah, I'm praying, ask the Lord for this. I'm going to pray and ask the Lord. They don't ever say, I'm going to go pray the prayer of worship. I'm going to pray the prayer of praise. They think that's something totally different. That's a form of prayer, because prayer is communication with God. And praise, if you're talking about, but you got to remember, a lot of people's praise and worship service ain't even talking to God. They sing songs like, I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord all the time. Now, you may gonna celebrate, and you may gonna sing unto the Lord, but when you gonna do it? Because to say, I will celebrate is not celebrate. And to say, I will sing unto the Lord is not singing unto the Lord, because you ain't even talking to the Lord. I might as well be talking to my partner. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord. I'm talking to him. I ain't talking to God. I'm not addressing God at all. So how am I singing unto the Lord when I ain't even talking to the Lord? I'm going around making a whole lot of promises. And you listen to most of those songs that are out there now, they're just a whole lot of promises or a whole lot of whining. Very few are talking to God. Lord spoke to us when we started this church, and before we started church, actually, and he said most praise and worship services are neither praise or worship. That's why I cannot inhabit, because I told the people I would inhabit the praises of my people, but they are not praising me. So they stir up something emotional, singing these exhortation songs all the time. Nothing wrong with them, because if you know it's in our bulletin, we have praise, worship, and exhortation. There's a place for exhortation. But we have praise, worship, exhortation, and I tell Helen and Victor, we don't want to have no Sundays where you're not singing some songs directly to God, or we're going to have a talk. And that's not a threat or anything. They do a great job. I don't want to threaten anybody. They do a great job. But I do mean what I say. You know, because we want the presence, the manifested presence of God. We want him to inhabit our service. And he says, I will only inhabit the praises of my people. I'll be in the midst amongst them. And if you get up and just sing your little songs and do your dance and do your scream and you're up and down and moaning and groaning and working the mic and everything else like you some rap star in the world, then God, you're not doing anything to God. You're not even talking to him. Not even talking to him. But prayer, praise is the highest form of prayer. Praise is a form of prayer. It's the highest form of prayer. To talk to God of his greatness. To tell him how wonderful he is. But people don't pray will cause you to fellowship with God. Prayer will be fellowshipping with God. How to fellowship with God? Pray to him. To him. Whether it be in song or in hymn or in spiritual songs. I like that one that says, build yourself up build yourself up on high and the Holy Ghost praying in tongues and spiritual psalms, singing songs to yourself and making merriment in your heart. I like that. People be down, depressed. Start talking to the Father in a song. Start singing. Start expressing your heart towards God. And you'd be surprised at how big God will get, how small that thing will get. Be surprised how it gets that way. Prayer is fellowshipping with God. Reading the Bible is fellowshipping with God. Now, when you have a prayer group, too, when a bunch of people come together and pray, unless it's just silent prayer, pretty much, there ought to be a leader in the prayer group. Because some of the wackiest things happen in prayer. Folks get these prayer groups and they go crazy. All kind of weird stuff. Folks casting out demons and spitting up devils and all. It can't never see, hardly ever is it something good happening. It's always something weird. Some extreme stuff happening. Because the devil doesn't like you talking to God. And he's going to try and interrupt it. Or they're praying in the flesh, not in the spirit. putting on shows. Oh, Lord! And you, one person just all wild, and the other person trying to get wilder than the other one, and the other one, and they call it a prayer meeting. It's a group of cackling hens, just a bunch of foolishness. It gets weird because God knows, Satan knows the power of that, and he tries to mess it up. Folks just go crazy. When you have a prayer, that's why at our prayer meeting, there's a leader. Even on Sunday morning when we're praying to ourselves, it's still a leader. Something start getting crazy, somebody gonna get up and say something. You know, we ain't into all that. You gotta have some control, some discipline. When you pray, you need to keep your mind on what you're praying. How many people pray and their mind fade out? That's why a lot of times people get spiritually lazy. They want to read and study the word, but they receive baptism of the Holy Spirit, so they just pray in tongues all the time. Their mind drifting off thinking about chicken or something. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do this tomorrow. They ain't even thinking about what they're doing. That's why you need to pray in English to get some discipline. You need to keep your mind, fixed on what you're doing. And when you pray in English, you have to focus your mind. Sometimes folks, they wake up and they say, what was I saying? And this is when they were praying in English. What was I? They don't remember. All they remember is what they were thinking. Don't know what you were saying. And you need to focus on what you're saying in prayer. Because remember, you can't be fellowshipping with God and not paying attention. You're talking to God and you ain't even giving you no attention. That's kind of like your husband or your wife be talking to you and you watching the game. Be like, uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. They'll be there talking to you like, the house is on fire. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. You want that rice burned? Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, that'd be fine, honey. Yeah, okay. You know? You want me not to wash any of your underwear this week? Yeah, I like it like that. That's fine. Okay. That's the same kind of prayer. You talking to God, and he's listening to you, and you ain't even paying attention. You just talking. Just talking. If you want a fellowship with God, read the Bible, pray. Point number three, turn to John 14:21. Believe it or not, but one way to fellowship with God is to obey him. You may not think that, but one way to fellowship with God is to obey him. Because, you know, God's got a relationship with you where if you do my word, I'll bless you. And when I'm blessing you, you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. If you're not being obedient, you're not drawing nigh to him, you're pushing yourself away from God, you're breaking the fellowship. You're breaking the fellowship. One way to fellowship with God is to be obedient to him. John 14:21. Let's get there. John 14:21. Where does the time go? John 14:21 reads as follows. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will what? Another word for manifest is make known. I will make known myself unto him. He that keeps my commandment, he that obeys me, I shall make myself known. Known also means available. I shall avail myself to him. I shall show blessings unto him. I will shower him with blessings. I will come down and walk with him and talk with him, as it were. I will fellowship with him. He will be my people and I will be his God. God will manifest himself unto those that love him, and those that love him are those who keep my commandments. There's a scripture in John that says, if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. If you don't keep his commandments, then the love of God is not in you. If you love him, you will keep his commandments, and keeping his commandments will bring you into a position of fellowship where he will draw close to you, you will draw close to him, and the two of you will walk together in perfect unity and harmony. And if you get that close to somebody that blessed, it's almost like you ain't got no money, but you got a friend that's rich. Somehow every time you go with them to eat, because they only eat in a nice restaurant, you get to eat in a nice restaurant. Since they don't take no taxi cabs, they drive a Rolls Royce. Every time you go with them, you get to ride in Rolls Royce. Folks start thinking you the blessed one. That's how it is. You fellowship with God. You stay close enough to him, the blessing gonna flow all over you. You may not be the source of it, but you still gonna be the benefactor of it. Just hanging that close to somebody that blessed is gonna make you a blessing. It's gonna bless you. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you have a friend who's super rich. They're not gonna buy you something out of a Cracker Jack box for Christmas. They're gonna buy you something that they would want. Buy you something nice, and see, but they'll give it to you, and eventually you have so much, you give it to other people just hanging around somebody as blessed as God. If you plant your roots in the word of God and you get to know God, you're going to grow the same kind of fruit God grows, abundant, luxurious, blessed fruit. It would just be a product of your life. It'll just be the natural thing. If you stay hooked up to the vine, that's in the vine produces will be produced from you. because you have the same life. You're hooked up to the same flow. If God is a person who heals, then as you get close to God, the healing power of God will flow through you because the life that's in the vine is in the branches. And you become a branch. You root yourself in the soil of the word. Everything the word says it will produce, you will produce out of your life. You will produce prosperity. You'll produce favor. You'll produce blessing. You will be the same blessing to other people that God has been to you. If you fellowship with him, if you spend time with him, if you don't put him on the back burner and misschedule your time and then don't keep your vow to God, but you keep your vow to man and to put that vow over the vow you made to God. Some of you might have prayed at the beginning of the year, Lord, I want to be stronger in the word this year than last year. I pray that every year, Lord, I want to increase because that's my desire. But when I say that, I'm putting commitment behind that. If you say that and you hit and miss church and hit and miss studying your word and doing stuff, you don't mean it. You don't mean it. You just said it. You don't mean it. Now, I want you to notice something here that the voice now about God being obedient to God and God tells you to do things and he sometimes has to correct you. Listen to this carefully because this is important. The voice that corrects you is the same voice that directs you. The voice that corrects you is the same voice that directs you. Now, why is that important? Why is it important to know that the voice that corrects you is the same voice that directs you? Because of this, if you ignore the correction of God, you will become dull spiritually to the direction of God. If you ignore the correction, the word of God tells you something, you read something it told you, you prayed, God told you something, and then now you have the choice to obey it, to keep fellowship with him, but you break fellowship with him, that same voice that corrects, guides, and directs you, that's the same one. And if you wanted God to direct you away from trouble and away from financial pitfalls and away from marrying that wrong man or marrying that wrong woman, you better be listening to the way he steers you. Because if somebody's trying to keep you from going into the ocean and you go straight out east down Okeechobee and you don't want to end up in the intercoastal and God's standing on the side saying, turn left here, turn there, and you don't turn nothing. You just disobedient as can be. He can't keep you because you won't yield to be directed. How can that voice direct you if it can't even correct you? If it can't make you change the detrimental course you're on, the dangerous course you're on, if you won't listen to God's way of doing it. I don't, you understand, I love that man. I want that man. We're going to be married soon. He said he's going to get me a ring. And you sleep with him, he gets you a baby and he take off. And God all the time was trying to steer you away from that. But you wouldn't take no correction. So therefore, you got no direction. And you ended up exactly where you didn't want to be. Same thing happens financially. Spirit of God telling you, you don't need to buy that. Forget about it. But you sit there and meditate it. That's the best price has been in 4 weeks. Boy, that's, you know, it ain't no usually that low. I could get that and you, whoa. And don't even entertain it. Because see, that's still the same voice that's correcting you to bring you to your prosperity. The same one. Now you remember those three, commit them to memory. If you want to know how to fellowship with God, read the Bible, pray, and then obey. Read the Bible, pray, and then obey. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that the Spirit of God is alive in this place and in our lives, Father. We thank you that the word is working in our life, Father, that it goes out before us. You pave the way for us, Father. I thank you that prosperity belongs to us. Health belongs to us, Father. Peace of mind belongs to us. Strength belongs to us. I thank you that your Lord God, El Shaddai, the God who supplies all our needs. You're Jehovah Rapha, Lord. You're Jehovah Sikkenu, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Jireh, Father. I thank you that every need is supplied by you, Father, whether it be spirit, soul, or body. We thank you that the word of God is working in our lives now. In Jesus' name, amen.